Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds to fill us with a true servant's heart in your name. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a blacksmith. A blacksmith who was very good, very dedicated in the work that he did. Well, the time came for him to die and go to heaven, so God sent him an angel. But the blacksmith refused to go. He said, "My neighbors are planting and sowing their crops right now, and I'm the only blacksmith in town. If something happens to their equipment, if it breaks down, I'll need to be there to fix it. And if I'm not there, they won't be able to get the crops planted. So if you would please just leave me alone, I want to serve my neighbors." Well, the angel was perplexed by that. He never had anyone who refused to go to heaven. But he gave his case to God, pleaded his case, and then God said, okay. Well, a little while later, some time later, the angel came back and said, "It's time for you to leave this life and to enjoy all the glory of heaven." But again, the blacksmith said, "One of my neighbors is ill. And if I don't help him get his crops in, his family is going to be destitute. Could you just please leave me? I need to help them get their crops in." Well, this became the habit. Every time the angel came, he had some other excuse, some other reason about how he needed to serve his neighbors. Many, many years went by, and finally he was very old, and he prayed, "God, if it's your will, I think I'm ready. Send your angel now." Angel appeared before his bedside, and the man said, "If you still want me, I'm ready for you to take me home to God." And the angel simply said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." A story about a man who had a true servant's heart. He looked beyond his own needs, his own wants, and he looked at how he can help his neighbors, how he could best do his job as a blacksmith and to be serving his neighbors. Well, that's our theme for today, theme of service. As I said during the announcements, we settle it around the term or the phrase, God's work, our hands. And that captures not just what we do, but it captures who we are. Again, across the country, ELCA churches are doing the same thing. And we read from the same lesson, which is really one of the themes for service, and it comes from the reading from the book of James. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or a sister is naked and lacks food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." Well, to be honest, Martin Luther had a lot of difficulty with the book of James. In fact, he kind of debated whether it belonged in the Bible or not. And among the troubling verses that Luther had was this verse 17. "So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." Remember, Luther taught, preached, that we don't earn our way to heaven. We don't get to heaven by all the good things and all the good works that we do. We get to heaven through the grace and the love of God and faith in what God does for us. But James makes a point. He says faith and works go hand in hand, with faith always leading the way. We have received that grace of God through Christ's death and resurrection. And in that grace that we have received through faith, it's not meant to be kept to ourselves. It is grace that is meant to be shared, meant to be passed on. And one of the ways we pass that grace on to others is the service we perform. Well, who do we serve? What form of service are we called for? Well, again, Martin Luther points out a very significant but an often overlooked way in which we serve God. And it's in everyday tasks. He wrote, "The maid who sweeps her kitchen floor is doing the will of God just as much as a monk who prays, not because she sings Christian hymns as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors." And then he says, "The Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship." See, we serve God in the everyday activities that we do and doing it well. But we also serve God through those actions that we do above and beyond our normal daily routine. James puts it this way again. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? See, we are called not just to pray for the poor, not just to pray for the hungry and those in need. We are called to be the prayer. We are called to take action, to serve others in ways that they have need, to serve those and to include those in need. Now, who do we include? Well, Jesus shows that way in the gospel text. And he gives us two miracle healings. And the first one is, well, it's rather odd. It's about a mother who comes to Jesus seeking healing for her daughter who had an evil spirit. And at first we read that Jesus denies her request, and rather in a very harsh manner. See, she was a Gentile. She was a foreigner. A person who most Jews of the day wouldn't have any dealings with. And rightfully so, from a Jewish perspective, as a foreigner, she didn't deserve the grace of God, the actions of God. Yet Jesus saw her great faith, her great belief. Jesus saw that she had a great love for her daughter. So much so that she risked being thrown out of that room, risked being insulted and ridiculed, being even rejected by the Son of God. She risked it all because she's a mom. And her child was hurting. Well, it was that determination, that faith that impressed Jesus. So Jesus healed her daughter. And in that act of miracle, he teaches us a very valuable lesson. Jesus came for Jews and Gentiles alike. He shows no partiality. He makes no distinction of a person's origin or their beliefs. And you and I are called to do the same. We're called to reach all people. But truth be told, that's difficult to live by, isn't it? You see, in every home, in every community, there is this overabiding temptation to show favoritism. In every neighborhood, every church, the temptation for us is to ignore the poor, to ignore the most vulnerable, because their pain, their discomfort, is very discomforting to us. So it's easy for us to build walls around ourselves, to build safe and comfortable world around our faith, including only those people who are like us, and turning a blind eye to those who are really suffering just outside of our door. But to turn a blind eye is also to turn our backs on the gospel. See, once we understand the needs of others, once we understand the grace that God has filled us with, the more we understand our call to serve. Because when we serve, it teaches us to be like Jesus and be Christ-like and an openness of Christ to our neighbors. We serve because, well, first, we are blessed by God. We are blessed with so much. And God asks us to reach out to help others. We are asked to be the image of Christ to others. I read this story the other day. It's about a chapel somewhere up in Wisconsin. And in the doorway, the main entranceway, there's a stained glass window, and it shows a figure of Jesus with outstretched arms. And I'm guessing it's very similar to the statue of Jesus that we have right there on our balcony wall. Well, a person was coming into worship, and he noticed that picture of Jesus with outstretched arms, and he says, "Wow, that's really meaningful. It's like Jesus is inviting us to come to worship." The pastor said, "You're right." When the service was over and that same person was going out, he looked at that same window again, the figure of Jesus with his arms open, inviting, and he said, "Look, now it seems as if he's inviting us to go out." "Right," the pastor said, "the Jesus who invites you to worship now invites you out into the world to serve people in his name." See, our Lord isn't really interested. Our Lord is greatly interested. Let me say that again. Our Lord is greatly interested not only what goes inside of the church, But what goes on when we leave this place? When we step out those doors, will we find places and ways to serve others? In Jesus' name, amen.